Good morning, happy Monday everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing. It is Monday the 6th of May. I'm Derek Clark and I'm joined this morning by Johnny McFarlane from Rangers Review HQ. How's it going, Johnny?
Good, Derek. Good result at the weekend, I suppose, if not necessarily a performance for Rangers. So that's the main thing. And a few people would have been slightly concerned, I think, going into that half-time break just before Fabio Silva turned up. So I think that probably helped the mood and left us with a little bit more of a positive show than we might have had before that.
Yes, most definitely. The win yesterday, although we'll sure we'll get stuck into it, sets it up nicely for next weekend. The build-up has well and truly begun. Just before we get stuck in, folks, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. You know the drill by now. They've got some wonderful Viessmann boilers on offer at this moment in time. Flexible finance options, first year service free, and they throw in a free internet controller as well for all you gadget lovers out there. The all-important links are in the description below. So if your boilers on its last legs, then do give these guys a call. Right, Rangers winning 4-1 yesterday. Like you say, Johnny, I mean, a 4-1 win in any game, you'd be satisfied with that. But given the performance levels, the missed chances once again, we're talking about perhaps missed opportunities as we head into the Old Firm title showdown next week. Rangers, again, defensively losing a cheap goal. A James Tavernier own goal, and Kilmarnock getting their noses in front. We had a lot of VAR checks in that first half as well. I know the manager, and we'll touch on his press conference shortly, was speaking about VAR and the lengthy delays and what have you, the handball incidents and all that sort of stuff. But Kilmarnock reduced to 10 when Joe Wright was found to have handled from a Dujon Sterling attempt on goal. Rangers huffed and puffed. They got that goal, as you said, in first half stoppage time. Fabio Silva, which followed an interesting celebration after, which we'll discuss as well. And Rangers dominated, as you would expect, in that second half and getting three further goals. A Tom Warren stunner. Ben Davis marking his return with a goal from close range, and John Souter rounding things off. It leaves the state of play. Rangers 3 points behind Celtic, 5 goals behind in the goal difference department. Where should we start, Johnny? Defensively, I've got to say, Leon Balogun, of course, came off injured at halftime. The manager says he hopes it's a small injury. I have concerns about that back four going to Parkhead. I know that Ridvan came on in the second half. I would like to see him start against Celtic. But if you defend like that, as he did against Kilmarnock, I know they never allowed Kelly any real great chances apart from that. But the goal itself was something that we've seen this Rangers defence concede many times before. They're going to have to sharpen up, aren't they?
Oh, 100%, Derek. The goal was a bit of a freak because the ball rebounds off the player before it crosses to Tavernier, and then it goes off Tavernier's hand. So there's obviously multiple ways in which that just wouldn't normally happen. So I just think it's one of those moments where you go, right, everything that's going wrong is going, everything that could go wrong is going wrong. This is the way Rangers are facing their luck at the moment, and you've got to hope that it's going to turn from a Rangers point of view. But in terms of defending against Celtic, Derek, there's absolutely no doubt that they're going to have to step it up massively. Each of these players, whoever's fit, is going to be severely tested, not just by the intelligence and the running of Kyogo, but by the physicality of Ida when he inevitably comes on later in the game, because that's what Brendan Rodgers tends to do and has done in previous Old Firm games since he's had Ida to pick from. So there's going to be a lot of danger. Celtic have got threats from pretty much every area of the pitch. They've got them wide, maybe not compared to what they had last season. You know, I don't think they've got anyone on the level of Jota, for example, but they've got threats in wide areas, and I think particularly they've got threats from central midfield. If you look at Hatate and O'Reilly, two players that are capable of not only scoring, but threading the pass. So it's absolutely massive that Rangers' defensive midfield is switched on and Rangers' central defence is solid. With that in mind, Derek, I really think Rangers don't have a chance if they play the way they've been playing. in this game. I've got a feeling that Celtic could go through one of these periods in the opening half an hour where they put the game beyond doubt. I would like to see Philip Clement do something completely different. I think if you make the same mistakes, if you make the same decisions, you're going to get the same result. I'd like to see a back three. I'd like to see Cyril Dessers removed from the front, and I would like to see Fabio Silva played up there with some pace behind them. If Sima's fit, Silva and Sima. If Matondo and Sima are both fit, maybe play Matondo and Sima and really, really go for pace at that back line. I don't know if these guys will be fit, but one thing that we know is that the physicality of Dessers and the running about Dessers, Carter Vickers will just eat that up. Scales eats that up. That's what they want. They want that battle. And he's had very, very little joy against them in previous games. So I think you've got to turn them and get in behind them. That's what both those players don't like. It's what they struggle to cope with. And I think you've got to find a way, from a Rangers point of view, of making Celtic more uncomfortable than they've been. I like the idea of a back three because you've got a shaky-looking defence. It gives a little bit more cover to Tavernier and Yilmaz, who I'm presuming will play on the left as they bomb forward. And I think you can get a little bit more strength in that midfield there if you go for a Diamandi, Lundstrom, and then Sterling in there. Really go combative. Don't think about that number 10. Think about shoring that up, making it a fight, using the physicality that Rangers have in their squad to try and really, really take the fight to Celtic. I think if you try and outplay them, fundamentally, I think Celtic have better players. And talking to Rangers fans, there's not a lot of optimism for this game.
No.
And I think that's because over and over again, we've seen the same story play out. So Philip Clement is very keen on talking about stories. I think it's time for him to write a different story.
A back three would be, I see a lot of support for that. Just on Dujon Sterling, I seen someone suggesting yesterday about Tav and the prospect of him going up against Dyson Maeda at Parkhead. He's had difficult times in the past against him. And someone suggested, of course, with the Tavernier situation as it is, with Dujon Sterling playing directly in front of him the last two games, is it not an idea just to switch those two players, play Dujon in Tav's position and play Tav one position further up and just tell him just to concentrate on his offensive side of the game? Do you think that's an argument, perhaps, Johnny, to deal with Celtic's threat down that left-hand side?
Well, listen, Tav's done that before. The 1-1 draw at Parkhead when Clint Hill scored that late goal, Tav played there. I'm pretty sure it was that game. And there's certainly been another game around that period where he played in that role, and I think he was pretty good. Derek, tell me if I'm wrong about that, but that's my memory.
There was one time I'm sure that they experimented. I don't know if it was when Gerrard was in charge. He had Nathan Patterson at right back, and I'm sure Tav was just in front of him. It wasn't for long, though. I think it was a League Cup game, if I'm not mistaken. But it's not been
100% in the sort of Murty era that was tried as well. From my recollection, Tav played pretty well. There's a lot of people who say, well, Tav's success comes from running from deep, but he's not being
tracked.
Don't
really do that anymore, though.
Nah, that's also a good point. So I'm not totally against that, and I think it makes absolute sense because Tav gives you so much going forward, probably more than Sterling does. Sterling, I think, is a more robust defender, certainly, than Tavernier. So, Derek, I don't dislike that. I still think, though, if you're going kind of man for them, they're playing a 4-2-3-1. Rangers play a 4-2-3-1. Ultimately, I just think Celtic have better players. You know, Hatate and O'Reilly are better than anything Rangers have in the midfield. Yeah. Callum McGregor's better than anything Rangers have in the midfield.
Yeah.
Kyogo is better than anything Rangers have up front.
Well, Dixers have scored more goals than them, but I get your point.
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't think many Rangers fans would say that Dessers is better than Kyogo.
We'll touch on Dessers shortly. Fabio Silva, we said, got that equalising goal For me, I've said many videos before, it was surprising to see him start the game again. I think he's been so out of form, it defies belief. We've seen one really good performance away at Benfica. Did okay, did pretty reasonably well at Easter Road in that win against Hibs as well. But got the equalising goal, Johnny, right at the death in that first half. That celebration was interesting. Seen a lot of Rangers fans not too happy with how he celebrated. It was sort of a la Josh Windass style at Firhill all those years ago. Some saying he's having a go at perhaps criticism from the media. That's a fine as Johnny's phone goes off.
Yeah, should have had him silent. Apologies. Someone phoned me to tell me I'm talking rubbish on the morning briefing, no doubt.
The celebration, this is where I stand on it. See if he scores the winner or scores a decisive goal at Parkhead next week and Rangers go on to win the game, I don't care how he celebrates. He has to do his talking on the pitch. He's now scored 3 goals. I wanted more from him. He came with a high expectation when Rangers brought him in from Wolves. We know that the price that Wolves paid for him to acquire his services, they're not going to get that back. But I want to see more from Fabio Silva. What do you make of the celebration, Johnny?
Stupid. Really, really stupid. Don't like to see that sort of thing. It just looks petulant. And more than anything else, it just, the last thing you need when you're battling in Scottish football and you have all the elements that are against you, you know, the opposition fans giving you a hard time, et cetera, is to have your own fans upset with you. I mean, just a bit silly and unnecessary. Fabio Silva hasn't performed to the level that he should have. I think he's a player with ability. You saw that with his finish. I thought it was a few lovely touches. Personally, I think he would be better as a number 9 than as out wide. I would be playing him up front over Dessers and trying some different options on the wide left. But I do also understand that there aren't an awful lot of them. Rangers are without 3 of their sort of natural wingers because of injury, as Clement said, and as a post-match presser.
Yeah.
So I get all that, but to me, he's a young man who needs to have a look at himself in terms of some of his conduct. He rolls about. He's got a propensity to kind of show petulance on the pitch, and I think you saw that there. He needs to grow up and grow up fast. I know he's not going to stay at Rangers. I think that's pretty clear from both sides, but that certainly just isn't ideal. You want everyone given everything, everyone all on the same page.
Yep.
And it's just not what's needed at this point. I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think we should make a massive deal out of it. It's a young player who's allowed his emotions to get the better of him, but it's just silly and unnecessary.
Staying with the forward line, you said you'd like to see Silva up front next week. Dessers had 2 great opportunities to hit fire shots at goal in that second half. He was played in by Mohamed Diamandé. There was another incident as well where he just ran into traffic. It's pretty much summed up his Rangers tenure so far, where he just takes too many touches when opportunities presenting themselves to him. We've seen him miss that great chance at Parkhead at the turn of the year. Rangers simply cannot afford to pass up those chances, which will be, I'd imagine, few and far between next week, Johnny. Would you have Dessers on the bench next week, given what we
served? Of course. I mean, I've been consistent about this. You know, Cyril is a great guy and talks quite rightly about, you know, focus on what I can do. He's the sort of player that will get a manager the sack. And actually, to be honest, Derek, I have to say, there's a few of them in that Rangers squad, isn't there? Todd Cantwell's another one. Just guys who have got quality sometimes, yeah. And then others, you just wonder where they've gone. And I just don't think Rangers is the club for a player that's mercurial like that. You need to be able to turn it on week after week. The relentless nature of Rangers, the relentless demands of the fans, is that you show consistency and players that can't or don't, they don't tend to last long. And listen, I don't want to be going two-footed on Big Dessers again because I've made my feelings clear on him. I just personally don't rate what he brings to the party. I don't feel like you can rely on him. I don't feel like he's I just don't feel like he can be relied upon to hit the back of the net. He's not sharp enough in front of goal, Derek. And if you've got a number 9 who's not sharp enough in front of goal, you're going to have problems. And I stand by that. I've said it for what, 7 months now, Derek? You've been listening to me going on about the same thing, saying he's not good enough. And I stand by it. I don't think Dessers will score if you play him against Celtic. I think he is the kind of player that Liam Scales and Carter Vickers will look at and go, yes, please, that's good.
Yeah.
So if you've got another option, I don't know how many options there are. Depends on the injury situation. But we know that Matondo plays as a second striker. He's not done it for Rangers too often, but Philippe Clement was part of a Bruges setup where when Matondo was in Belgium, he scored as a second striker. So he'll have seen him perform in that role. The one thing about Matondo, the one thing about Sima is they've got electric pace. They can expose the weaknesses in Celtic's backline. Are they perfect? Are they natural strikers? No, but I don't think there's a perfect solution here. I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think Silva's a more reliable finisher than Dessers, and if he gets a chance, I'd feel more confident that he would put the ball in the back of the net. So I'm not telling people that support Dessers and get behind them that they're wrong, because I think, you know, he's performed to a level that's allowed him to hit over 20 goals, Derek. And I think that's is it 20 or is it 21 he's got now?
20, I'm sure. 20 goals. 20.
I mean, so he's done well with that regard. There's no doubt about that. But he's one of these players that one game is great, the next two games he's poor. And you just can't gamble on him picking one of those games being the Old Firm game. You need everyone absolutely at it.
Yeah, I would love him to stick one in the back of the net on Saturday, I've got to admit, but like you cannot hang your hat that he's going to finish chances. There's a point that came in as well from James. He was an unused sub yesterday. He says, I'm amazed Roof is getting no game time on the pitch. Of course, he came in and started in that goalless draw up at Dens Park. Hasn't really been seen since, Johnny. I don't think the manager rates him. Simple as.
It's hard to say anything else, Derek. I think that's a fair approximation. He doesn't think he's a clear option right now. And that might be down to injuries. It might be down to unreliability. We don't know, because Philippe Clement's not going to come out and say it, because he might need Roof at some stage this season. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if you need a goal, you're going to throw in Kemar Roof in the game at the weekend. So, but he's just never going to be someone that you can hang your hat on. He's another one like that. The injuries have done him in. And ultimately, he's going to be leaving in the summer. And I really, really hope for Kemar Roof's sake that he goes away and finds somewhere where he feels comfortable and he can start playing. Because it's a real sad situation that a player with his talent just has had two and a half seasons completely wiped out of his career.
Mm.
But it is where we are where we are. And I suppose the bright side from a Rangers point of view is Kemar Roof is not a player who's on a small salary. He's on a very big salary. He's one of the top earners when he came into Rangers. And that will free up some space for new blood to come into the squad, people who are going to be able to play more minutes.
Yeah. You mentioned there Todd Cantwell. We'll touch on that now, because Tom Lawrence came on and scored an absolute beauty, Johnny. He is someone that has been out of form, it's fair to say, in recent weeks, but that is what he is capable of. Stunning goals like that, great technique to move on to his right foot. Sent about two or three Kilmarnock players for hot dogs over in the fan zone, and then pinged one right in the top corner. Is there a thought that he starts against Celtic, do you think, in place of Cantwell? Can you afford Todd Cantwell, who, for me, I was bitterly disappointed in his performance at Parkhead at the turn of the year? Does Tom Lawrence offer you a bit more, do you think? Do you think it's him or Cantwell to start the game?
I wouldn't play either of them, but if you're going to pick one, I would play Lawrence.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Lawrence takes shots. Ultimately, yes. Lawrence produces. Do I think Tom Lawrence has got more quality than Todd Cantwell? No. Todd Cantwell is a real high-quality player in terms of a skill set, and there's no doubt about that. But this reminds me a little bit about debates we used to have about Ryan Kent versus James Forrest. Ryan Kent is a much better player than James Forrest. He's got more talent, much more talent. But James Forrest scores goals. He sets up assists, and his numbers would blow James Forrest's numbers, Ryan Kent's numbers out of the park. And I think there's an element about that with Lawrence versus Cantwell. Because Lawrence is direct, because he looks to bear down on goal and ping one in the top corner, I think ultimately he's just more effective, despite maybe not having the level of quality Cantwell has. I mean, I think Cantwell, it's no surprise to me that he played well in the Premier League because he's got that class about him. But it just, it doesn't manifest itself in output. And or not enough. And he's another one, Derek. I'm going to just, I don't know if this is going to be controversial or not, but I wholeheartedly believe it. I think he's a luxury Rangers can't afford. And I would be looking to move him on at the end of the season if there's a decent offer come in from him. I think he's a fine squad player to have around, but he's not, for me, a player that you can hang your hat on in the big games to turn up and make a decisive contribution. I might be wrong. He might ram those words down my throat come Saturday, but based on what we've seen so far, he's turned up majorly in one Old Firm game, and that was a game that didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to see a lot more. Now, the manager in his post-match press conference was quizzed on some bizarre comments from Brendan Rodgers after Celtic's 3-0 win against Hearts on the Saturday, where he says that they'll be having some fun next week. So Philip Clement was quizzed on that in his post-match press conference. This is what he had to say, folks.
Never say about an opponent, but okay, we will see.
Think that's mind games from him?
Mind games in what way?
I don't know. What do you think of the comments though?
That it's not really respectful towards my team, that I think. So I will never say things like that about an opponent.
That is what Philip Clement had to say, Johnny. On Sky as well, he said that his team will be going to Parkhead to have fun also. What did you make of his comments on that? He's obviously riled by them. I think it was. I can see why he has addressed it. But what do you think? What do you think of him?
Well, I think it's Brendan Rodgers definitely playing mind games. And what he was presumably trying to do was to rile everyone at Rangers up a little bit, so they kind of take their mind off Kilmarnock and kind of focused on Celtic ahead of the game when they still had Kilmarnock to face. Bit of a gamble, but from Rodgers' point of view, ultimately, I think most Rangers fans, and certainly I think he's probably right, you know, and it's up to the Rangers players to stand tall and say, no, no, he's wrong. I think most people expect Rangers to go to Parkhead and lose. So it's on them to take that as motivation and use it in the correct way. I went on Twitter the other day, Derek, and it blew up a little bit because I talked about The Last Dance and Michael Jordan. And one of the things from that documentary that came across time and time again was how he took tiny comments and turned them into massive things in his own mind and used them as fuel to push himself to Heathrow unseen limits and play some of the best basketball anyone's ever seen anywhere, probably the best, to drive the Chicago Bulls to that third consecutive championship. Now, Rangers don't have anyone that's even close to the quality that was in that side. I know it's basketball, it's a different game, but that was really, really top-level stuff. But do they have that elite mentality where they say, okay, that's an extra 0.01% to just push us on, push us over the edge? You would hope that as professional athletes, Rangers would take a comment like that and use it as fuel.
You'd like to think so.
But will they? Well, again, it's on them to prove that they can. And I think the whole positivity of the support will be turned around because there's a lot of negativity out there at the moment, if they can go and do that. But I think this is evidence-based, the kind of mentality and outlook at the moment. I don't think Rangers are playing particularly well. I know that they dominated that game yesterday, It was never really in doubt, Derek. I think you've got a stat that shows that the data tells us that Rangers, based on the chances, would win the game 100% of the time based on what took place.
Yeah, that's coming out a little bit later. I think it's only happened one other time this season. That was the victory against Livingston. So dominant, to say the least.
But I think with injuries, and let's be honest, Rangers have been absolutely decimated. Arguably, the front three that would be selected as first choice are all injured at the moment. Whether they'll be back or not is another question, but I don't think it would be beyond the ken of man that Cortez, Danilo and Sima would be the front three of choice for a game like this if everyone was fit. So you really are down to the players who are more considered squad players that you're asking to go along and drive you on to that championship. You think about Goldson being out. I know he's been having a tough time in terms of form, but he's someone that I think would be in contention for a spot. You think about Nico Raskin. Could he have an informed Nico Raskin be a player that would be in more contention for a game like this? You would certainly have hoped so at the start of the season. No,
like Roof, he's not fancy, Johnny.
Yeah. I'm not sure Rangers are really, really well equipped at the moment, if I'm being honest. And I think that's manifests itself in the kind of the sense that's going around about this game that's coming up.
Yeah. Right. Some other comments we'll touch on before we wrap up. Thank you to James Strachan for this very kind donation, James. He watches us religiously from down under. Just talking about Silva's goal celebration. He says it was a disgraceful act. Many of the viewers agree with you, James. And yeah, thank you for your kind donation. That's an interesting point. It ties in with Chris's article on the website this morning, Johnny. From John, he says, goal difference might beat us even if we beat them. I seen someone saying yesterday and on the instant video reaction we did last night after the game, Rangers just need to beat Celtic by three clear goals next week and we're back top of the league. Easier said than done. Would love to see it, right enough, but is that, do you think this is going to be an issue for Rangers even if they do get a result next week?
Derek, I'll stand by this. I've said this for a while. I think if Rangers win the three games, they win the league.
Right, okay.
Because I think if Rangers go to Parkhead and win, Celtic are going to be, I mean, the pressure would be on them. I mean, going to Kilmarnock, that is the last place in Scottish football you would want to go. It's the worst possible place in Scottish football you've got to go. I honestly think that if Rangers win the three games, they win the league. Now, I don't think they're going to win the three games, but the goal difference is not a question for right now. Honestly, it's not. Get the Celtic game out and then we can discuss goal difference. Yeah. See where you're at that point.
Yeah.
I was a little bit taken aback, Derek, I have to say, by what I kind of saw as a lack of forward momentum after the third goal went in yesterday. I thought the crowd and the players and the manager would see that 20 minutes against 10 men as an opportunity to surge forwards and maybe add three or four goals. I kind of felt it went a bit flat and, you know, the usual 15 or 20,000 left the stadium before the end. And I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity in terms of the goal difference, I have to say. That could come back to bite at the end of the season. And I just thought it was a bit odd. I don't know, did you feel that way watching it?
It was a bit,
it flattened out almost as if it was just any other game and just getting the win was all that mattered, when actually, in context, you had a really, really good opportunity to go and reframe that goal difference. 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, exactly. I think goal difference is going to come back to bite Rangers. Whether it has a major impact on the title race, who knows? But is a considerable difference at this moment in time. Rangers simply need, and injuries have played a part, of course, as well, but they need more killers in front of goal. And hopefully it gets addressed in the summertime. We'll wrap up with this, and good luck to the Rangers women's team who are taking on Celtic at lunchtime in a sort of winner-takes-all match at 12 p.m. That match taking place at Broadwood. 56 incoming says a winner takes all for the Rangers women today against on Sky at lunchtime. Good luck to the lassies. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully they go and do the business. Right, that'll do us there. Big thanks to Johnny as ever. And thank you to each and every one of you for your questions and your interaction. Just a heads up for those of you that are Rangers Review Extra members on YouTube. I'll be back at 1 p.m. this afternoon for the first of two Q&As we've got on this week. So if you want to get your questions in, please fire them in. I'll get through as many as I possibly can. As I touched on earlier, there's that piece from Chris on the website. All the reaction from the match yesterday as well to get stuck into. So plenty to keep you entertained. Big thanks to Johnny, and we'll speak to you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.